Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of February, recording at 9:24 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. Well, I'm afraid this week has started pretty much the way the last couple of weeks have ended. We have had a softer tone in Asian stock markets. For the most part, the European stock markets seesawed in a narrow range. It closed upwards while Wall Street was steady, but then Wall Street turned around, closed near the lows of the day, but that's decline, put it in perspective, that's a decline of 1% or less, depending on which of the indices you're looking at, 1% for the Dow. Long-dated government bonds gave up a little bit of ground today, but U.S. Treasury futures closed near the highs on the day as Wall Street weakened, but still down a little bit. The dollar was mostly softer for most of the day, but then showed a small gain as Wall Street weakened again. And commodities. Now, most commodities rallied earlier on in the day, but those gains are pegged right back. Precious metals saw some rally. Silver still up 20 cents, but most of them gave up over half their gains. Gold, for instance, actually bullion is down at 1063.70. It had been at $10 higher at one stage, and we had similar action in other commodities. The industrial metals tend to close a little bit earlier, and they mostly show small gains, the exception being tin. But I'm looking at U.S. copper, for instance, closed almost 5 cents off its high on the day, and that leaves it at 288.50. We had a similar story in crude oil. The grain and bean complex was steadier, but again, closing well off the highs. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, investors are nervous, and they've got the ongoing concerns over the sovereign debt and the possibility of exit strategies or some mild tightening of monetary policy. Everybody now recognizes that a correction is underway in stock markets, which at year-end had become pretty overextended, even despite a lot of ranging that we saw in the fourth quarter. They were still overextended when they broke up out of those trading ranges, and they haven't maintained those moves, so technically we've seen some damage, some short-term damage, possibly medium-term damage. And this has brought stock market indices back closer to their rising 200-day moving averages. Those are potential support levels, probably quite important support levels, if this is an ordinary correction within a cyclical bull market. Now, I'm of the view that that's likely to be the case. But we do know that there are some major problems out there, not least regarding debt and deflationary pressures. There is a terrific amount of uncertainty. So these are not normal times, to put it mildly. I would say uncertainty. We have a lot more uncertainty than we do than we have debt concerns that we're all looking at today. So I'm saying, trying to say that these are not usual circumstances. So I can't be all that confident that this is just a normal correction within a cyclical bull. But we know what to look for, and I refer back to those three scenarios that I had pointed out. if this is still a cyclical bull, and that we if we have a meaningful upside scope for the rest of the year and commencing either later this month or next month, then we should see stock market indices bounce quite strongly off those 200-day moving averages, which they're still approaching. If this is a more serious correction, and we really aren't going to go anywhere this year, except a lot of choppy sideways ranging, and with many indices perhaps closing down a little bit on the year, then we will see breaks in those rising 200-day moving averages, and most indices will remain below those averages, actually encountering resistance on retests of the underside, and we'll get a bigger correction. It'll be more than the 10% for Wall Street and say 15% or a bit more for the higher beta emerging markets. Now, the last possibility, and what I rate is the lowest in percentage terms, I put it at 20% versus a 40% chance of the two other scenarios that I defined. First scenario, of course, being strong rebound from a strong bounce up off the 200-day moving averages versus the possibility of breaking below them and staying below and possibly having a down year overall. Put those two at 40% each, and then the outside one, in my opinion, would be we get much weaker stock markets, taking indices back down towards their March lows. Okay, it's not impossible that we could get all three of those scenarios for some markets. In other words, the best situations, the strongest markets, and this would also apply to shares, high yielders, perhaps. Do particularly well. And some of the resources markets I would still put as potentially being in this category, along with some of the other fuller money themes. Asian emerging markets could still push higher. We could have a lot of markets that just meander around, and a few that way underperform because they have special problems, such as Greece. But trying to weigh it all up, in all candor, there are far more questions than answers at this stage right now. The object of the game is to buy low and sell higher, although some prefer to buy high to sell higher still in momentum trends to the upside. Well, we don't have momentum trends to the upside anymore, so one has to be careful about that. But the more this stock market complex pulls back, the more interested value investors will gradually become. And I think we probably all ought to be considering that it would make more sense, if we're going to nibble on weakness and not on strength. And equally, if we want to get out, well, something that I'd repeated on numerous occasions last year, particularly during the second half of last year, was that if one wanted to sell on the strength, not on the mean reversions towards the MA. So weigh that all up, and I think that we're closer to an initial buying opportunity. That doesn't mean that we won't get better buying opportunities as the year develops. Tricky period. We can only deal with the reality that markets provide, and I'm repeating myself in saying that this is a tricky environment because the trends that we had have lost their consistency. Now, that actually includes gold, which is deviated from the type of trend action that we had from the September 2005 and the September 2007 breakouts, and those moves carried on into March and May over those two cycles, respectively. Now, this one we had again in 2009. We had a right on schedule. We had a September breakout to the upside. Very, very good technical action until it ran into trouble in December. And we've seen a much bigger pullback this time than we had during the other two moves that I referred to. Now, there was really no logic or reason as to why gold should go on repeating the consistency characteristics of its medium-term upside breakouts in 2005 and again in September 2007. When we consider that the background data is always changing, evolving. My own take on this, it's disappointing to see the diversion from that earlier consistency characteristic, and it caused me to get a little bit careless and to hope that we wouldn't see a diversion from that, and so to hold on to my gold and silver positions too long. But I think we certainly have to factor in that the biggest demand driver for these markets now is coming from investors, and it's not fabricators, it's not jewelry, and it's not the Indian wedding season. Now, investors are certainly going to be influenced by what happens in stock markets. So I think that correlation between gold and the stock markets is more likely to increase with the advent of all the ETFs in bullion, rather than to decrease. And I think most of us would prefer it if it was somewhat different than that. When everything correlates, I suppose it's easier to make money in the upward trends or the clear downward trends. But most of us would rather have some instruments going up and other instruments coming down, so less correlation. But at any rate, this is what we have, and the current picture. Commodities are still a bit soft, although mostly within overall upward trends. The stock markets have seen some erosion of support, but are mostly still within overall upward trends, at least as defined by the 200-day moving averages, and a number of them still have not eroded their sequences of higher reaction lows. The U.S. dollar, though, remains steady, and I think for gold to do really well, we would need to see a softer dollar and firmer stock markets. And I think that's pretty much all that I can comment on at this stage. Again, I say there are more questions than answers, but sometimes that's life. And we go through these uncertain passages, and then we eventually get some very clear and profitable technical signals. That's going to happen. But I can't tell you whether it's going to be this week or next month, but it will happen. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.